second hour today is Dr. Paul Byrne, and the website that you will want to visit is lifeguardianfoundation.org. And today we're going to be talking about something that I think many of us have heard about, is about the young infant. Well, he's almost one. I think he's like 10 months old. And it's just a very sad thing. I signed a petition a couple weeks ago about this youngster. And it's just a very, very sad thing. And hopefully we can get some information about this. His name is Charlie Gard. And in fact, the brother of Terry Schiavo went over there and talked with his parents just in the last couple of weeks. Anyway, Dr. Byrne, welcome to the program.
Deanna, thank you very much for inviting me to be on your program. It's always such a pleasure to discuss what we discuss together, and we try to make it very useful and helpful for your listeners. So thank you very much for inviting me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Just a thought. I read in the paper this week that this young woman, and this just made me absolutely sick, threw her newborn baby, a baby girl, out of an 8-story window. And the baby apparently lived for a little while and then perished. And she is not getting, she's not being charged with murder. She's not being charged. She's pretty much being let off the hook. And then when you think about, I know this isn't the subject of, you know, Charlie Gard, but when you think about all of the abortions since 1973, when the Supreme Court, a court, said it was okay to kill your baby, there have been 55 million or more infants, children, human beings, people who have been murdered. And that is what it is. It is what it is. And because they've made it okay, there are people who think that it's okay because it's legal. But it's immoral, it's murder, and I want to make myself clear on this. I had a guest on a couple weeks ago, and I probably didn't make myself very clear. I am against abortion for any reason, even when it's a case of incest or rape. It isn't the baby's fault. And I think that there are other options, good options. So that I just wanted to make myself clear on that. But I just, stories like this just tear me up, break my heart. Because I wanted my children so very much, so very much. And they're precious. Babies are precious.
Deanna, I agree with you. I think it's awful. The unborn baby is just as much a person as you and I are. And yes, the killing of millions of babies in the United States since 1973, which is being done legally, has a major impact on all of us. And there's a lot of killing going on in our society, and it sounds awful, you know, when we hear about 3 murders or 30 murders over a weekend in a particular city. It's very disturbing. But every day there are 4,000 babies killed in the United States with abortion. Every day, and every 20 seconds, a baby is killed with abortion. And at least those that are recorded. And it has to be having an effect. But Roe v. Wade, when it was legalized to do abortion in 1973, that was preceded by the deception of brain death. Brain death was invented in 1968, and 1970, Kansas had the first state to make it legal to dissect a person while the heart is beating with circulation and respiration, dissect them to get their organs alive. And that was legal for doing that in the 18-year-old person, the 20-year-old person. It was legal for doing that before Roe v. Wade legalized the killing of the unborn baby that they can't even see when they're doing the killing. The root of the killing in the United States, the root of the killing in the world, the modern root of the killing of vulnerable, defenseless persons is brain death. Everybody who's called brain dead is alive. None of them are truly dead. They all have a beating heart. They all have circulation. They all have respiration. And that they invented it so they could get organs for transplantation. And that was all done before Roe v. Wade in 1973 that legalized abortions. Are these things related to each other? Yes, they are. They're directly related to each other. And it has an impact on our society. It's called a culture of death. It's a culture. It's what you make it to be, you cultivate it to be. And so it's cultivated in our society that it's okay to kill the unborn baby. That's called abortion. It's okay to dissect somebody while they're still living with a beating heart, circulation, and respiration. It's okay to do that. Well, if it's okay to do that, then I think that we get at least covertly exposed to death and become cold about it and don't shudder and shy away from it, as you were expressing when you were beginning the program, talking about yourself, your children. We are for life, and we don't agree with hastening death and shortening life of any person, whether it's before they're born or after they're born, and regardless of the circumstances of how they got into that. So these are all things that it's very important for your listeners to just stop and think about how they got here. None of us got here through skill of ourselves. God picked out our mother and our father for us. And that holds true for every person. Every person, God picks out the mother and the father for us. And then we get our life. And yes, sometimes circumstances are such that life is not easy. But on the other hand, we still have to protect and preserve our own life and protect and preserve the life of others. And actually, that's what doctors and nurses do. We protect and preserve life. That's all we do. If a doctor or nurse ever does anything other than protect and preserve the life, they have violated their profession. They have violated the oath that they take when they become a doctor and nurse, or at least the oath that I took when I graduated from medical school. So often they don't take take that oath anymore. We took now, the Democratic oath.
Now, the transplant nurses and transplant doctors, particularly the heart transplant nurses, they are fully aware of what they are doing, correct? They understand.
Absolutely.
That the person...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Deanna, the way the transplant procedure is done is that an incision is made from the neck down to the pubis. And when they open up the chest, and inside they can see the beating heart. Every transplant doctor, every nurse that's in the operating room, everybody who's close enough to see, sees the beating heart. They all know that is not a cadaver. It's clearly different when it's a cadaver in a morgue. When autopsy is done on a cadaver, it's clearly different. There's never a beating heart. There's never blood loss to be content with. When they do the transplant procedure, they have to take care of blood loss as they cut in. They see pink, healthy blood when they open up the chest. They see the beating heart. They know exactly what they're doing, and they have some rationalization for why it's okay to do that. But the fact of the matter is, when the procedure starts, there's always a living person, and after the organs are taken out, it's always a dead cadaver, and they all know that. And my study of this subject was not to be against transplantation, but it was to find out what this is all about so far as life is concerned. And these issues are all interrelated. The life and the death issues, whether we talk about the life of the baby before the baby is born, or we talk a lot about the life afterwards, or we talk about the life of the person who is injured in an accident and then gets into the medical system where if they are young, especially if they're young, between 16 and 30, maybe 16 and 40, if they get in the system and they're on a ventilator, and actually the laws are written that if they're on a ventilator and they're unconscious, they must notify the organ procurement organization. That's written into the laws that they must do that. And then once the organ procurement people get involved, they see someone who, to the organ procurement transplant people, a person who is unconscious and on a ventilator and young, they're worth between $1 and $5 million to the transplant industry. And of course, if they live, and especially if they live and they do not get to where they can make a living again, they can make money again, they become a liability, and so it costs money. So the society that as we have talked about, that does not respect life, weighs the benefit that they can get, society can get, from $1 to $5 million from getting the organs versus whatever it costs to continue to treat a patient who does not get back to where they make a living and take care of themselves. And so it's a cultural thing. It's a financial thing. And the principles are no different whether we're talking about the unborn baby or we're talking about Charlie Gard, who is born and is in England, or we talk about the person who is a little bit older, and in case anybody doesn't know it, the system is set up that we all are going to get palliative care. And palliative care happens to everybody when they get to a certain age. They're going to have to get referred to the palliative care specialist. And the palliative care specialist provides no curative treatment. And ultimately, they all end up with giving medications that depress the person, that depress the person. They do it under the guise of that they're treating the pain and the discomfort, and eventually they give enough of the medications to make them dead. It's very similar in the hospice program. The difference is palliative care, you can get into palliative care because of age, whatever that is, because of any kind of illness. Hospice, they tried to make it that two doctors predicted that someone would be dead within 6 months. And of course, they, for the most part, they get dead much sooner than that, because once they get in the system, they get no further treatments. And then the medications that are given can hasten their death and shorten their life. And then what I became aware of, I mean, I knew about it, but I never saw it practiced so much as I've become aware of it in, with the last several patients that have gotten a hold of me, and it's called a feudal care policy. And it's in many of the hospitals in the United States, maybe all, but I know it's in many of them, because I was a practicing physician when they brought the feudal care policy to our attention in the hospital, and I was concerned about it, and still they did it. And then about 10 years later, when they reviewed the policy and they brought it back again, I asked the question of the attorney who was presenting it. I said, well, supposing the treating doctor does not agree with the administrator who's carrying out the feudal care policy and wanting to stop the treatment. And his answer was, well, the doctor can transfer the patient to another hospital or can transfer the care to another doctor. Well, what happens with that is that all of the hospitals and all of the doctors are all paid in the same way. That is, they're all paid in accord with what the Secretary of Health and Human Services determines that they're going to get paid. And that's where all the rules come from for CMS. CMS has to do with medical services, is that the MS part of it. And that's Medicare and Medicaid. Then all of the private insurance companies all follow the rules that are set by the Secretary of Health through CMS, through Medicare and Medicaid, and the rules are set by that, and then all of the treatment is determined for private doctors by private insurance companies, as they pay or don't pay the doctors in the hospital.
Well,
are you still there?
I understand that the human body, dissected, harvested, is worth $11.2 million. And it's the hospital that gets that money. The patient's family does not get any money. They actually have to pay the hospital bill. It's just a big scam. Anyway, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
And our guest this second hour is Dr. Paul Byrne. And the website that you will want to visit is lifeguardianfoundation.org. And you'll want to get the card so that you may opt out of being an organ donor. Because unless you sign a card saying that you do not want your organs harvested, you're going to get your organs harvested. It's presumptive that everybody wants to be an organ donor. So, you don't want to be murdered on somebody's table and be harvested, get that card. And you may do that at lifeguardianfoundation.org. Now, do you think that physician-assisted suicide also has something to do with it? Because that was also something that the Supreme Court decided to do. And when we look at whose money is behind some of these ideas, we find that it isn't the regular people, but it's foundations, it's private foundations who have loads and loads of money, like George Soros Open Society Institute and its project on death in America. And then you have the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Greenwald Foundation. And they are the ones that are promoting all of these things, or many of these things, assisted suicide and whatnot, and who are devaluing human life in America. And it's their money. It isn't you and I and the people in our neighborhood that are saying, "Oh, we want physician assisted suicide, we want abortion, we want this, we want that, we want organ harvesting." No, it's none of us. it's these big foundations that throw their cash around to the politicians. Correct?
Yes. You're absolutely correct, Deanna, in how you have assessed that and put that together. And people, because of the way that the legal system and the medical system is set up, you have to have what you call the opt-out card, which is, they can get at lifeguardianfoundation.org. But that opt-out card is not simply an opt-out card for to prevent them from harvesting your organs, but it's a card that directs that you want to be treated. The card says, I direct that all medical and surgical treatments and care, including nutrition and hydration, be given to protect and preserve my life. Do not hasten death. Do not shorten life. Do not do an apnea test, and do not take any organ for transplantation or any other purpose. So it is a card that does protect you from being dissected alive. And every time they take an organ for transplantation, it's a healthy organ. It comes from a living person. And so you have to do something to protect your life, but you also have to direct that you want to be treated. And don't worry, you won't get too much treatment. Incidentally, on that card, we mentioned do not do an apnea test. The apnea test is, first of all, not a test for sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is a different thing that happened to people for various reasons, but they can be tested for it and get treatment for it, and it helps them tremendously. But the apnea test that's done on the unconscious patient is taking away the ventilator for 10 minutes. They suffocate them for 10 minutes. Their carbon dioxide builds up in their body. Their acids build up in their body. And that makes them get worse. It can only make it worse. It cannot be a benefit to the patient. So all the listeners must learn, if any of your relatives are unconscious on a ventilator, one of the first things you must direct is do not do an apnea test. The apnea test can only make your relative get worse, and it's set up to get organs for transplantation.
Okay, we're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure.
I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest this hour is Dr. Paul Byrne. And please do visit lifeguardianfoundation.org. And there are so many resources there. Read the stories that are there. Really investigate the website. And like I say, it is just full of resources that will help us to understand, because we've all been indoctrinated to think that to be an organ donor means that after you die, that you're going to give your organs to somebody that needs them. And that is just not true. You can't be dead and donate your organs because they are no longer viable. Correct, Dr. Byrne?
That's absolutely correct. From a cadaver, there are no organs that can be transplanted. They can get tissues, but not organs. The organs need a continual, constant supply of oxygen. And without oxygen, the heart is so damaged in 4 to 5 minutes that it's not suitable for transplantation. Likewise, without oxygen, the liver is so damaged, it's not suitable for transplantation. So you see, the organs need a supply of oxygen. The way they get the tissues are like the corneas, ligaments, tendons, bone. They take them after they've dissected and cut out all the other organs while they're, and then when they get down to where they just have the tissues, then that's when they take the tissues. The tissues are more resistant to the lack of oxygen, and it takes them a longer time to deteriorate and disintegrate. You can know the difference readily when you see a skeleton. The bones, it takes a long time for the bones to deteriorate and disintegrate back to the basic elements. On the other hand, the heart, the liver, which are examples of unpaired vital organs, they occur singly in the body. When the circulation stops, in 4 to 5 minutes, they get so damaged they're not suitable for transplantation. Everybody is aware of this when they take a CPR course. They're taught that when somebody stops breathing and their heart stops, you have to institute the resuscitation process immediately, and because in 4 to 5 minutes, the unpaired vital organs get so damaged they're not suitable for transplantation. The tissues can be later after the and they takes a longer time till they deteriorate. But every organ that's taken from transplantation is a healthy organ. It comes from a living person. And the other thing, as you mentioned, is that the people think when they're at the license bureau, do you wish to be an organ donor? And when they say yes to that, they do that with little or no information. But what they're kept from knowing is that they must be alive. They play pretend that they are dead when in fact they're not truly dead. Every organ donor has a beating heart, circulation, and respiration. And when the people at the License Bureau are answering yes, they are presuming and assuming that you're dead. You can't be dead and be an organ donor. Every organ donor is a living person. They have maneuvered and manipulated the medical and legal systems since 1968 to play pretend, if you wish, in terms of getting organs, that pretend that somebody's dead because they're unconscious and on a ventilator. And if they can't show that they take a breath with that apnea test, then that becomes the signal to cut out their beating heart and their other organs that are vital to their life. And it's a pretend death. It's not a true death. And it's legal, and many in the medical system are doing it. But the average person knows that somebody is not dead while their heart's beating and they're warm and their blood is pink and they're good color. They know that that's not death. Anybody with any common sense, with any reasoning, you can present those things to someone who is 7 years old, what the difference between life and death is, and they will readily realize and accept that somebody is not dead when they have a beating heart, circulation, respiration. And when I started to study this subject in 1975, because of Joseph, a little baby that I was taking care of, And we did a brainwave test, and he had no brainwaves. And it was said that he was it was consistent with cerebral death. That's what's written on his chart. And it was suggested to stop treating him, but we continued to treat him. Joseph is married and has 3 children. And it was because of Joseph that I looked into this subject. Brain death is not based on data and information that would be valid for any other advance in medicine. They just made it up. They didn't do studies on dogs or cats or rats. They didn't do. They didn't look at human beings. They didn't. You know, the way advances in medicine are done, sometimes we might try something new on a small number of patients to see what happens. They didn't have any patients when they reported the Harvard criteria in 1968. they just presented it and said that if somebody was unconscious and on a ventilator, and when they put a light in their eye, their pupil didn't respond, and they put ice water in their ear, their eye didn't turn, and if they took them off the ventilator and they didn't take a breath, and in those days, they would just take them off the ventilator for 2 or 3 minutes. Now they take them off for 10 minutes, trying to be sure, you know, but all the while, the patient's getting worse when they're off the ventilator. The ventilator is a piece of equipment that we use to help people to breathe. The ventilator pushes air with oxygen into the patient, and then it's only the living person that the rest of it happens, the oxygen getting into the blood being circulated and pumped with the heart that's beating on its own, and then delivering the oxygen to the tissues, and then picking up the carbon dioxide and getting back to the lungs. But the air only comes out because it's the living person that pushes the air out. The ventilator only pushes it in. Everything else is done, including pushing the air out, by the living person. It cannot happen in a corpse. Once somebody is a corpse, and the ventilator cannot be effective in a corpse. It can only be effective in helping the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide in a living person. And people need to know this. The people shy away from the ventilator. Well, when I first started to use a ventilator many years ago, the ventilators were not as sophisticated as they are now. But because of the advances that we made in the care of newborn babies, ventilators that were very precise and very gentle had to be invented. And those ventilators that we invented for the treatment and care of premature babies are the same ventilators that are used to treat everyone, every adult. And the ventilators are so gentle now that oftentimes the ventilator can be used for a day or 2 days and as support for the life of the person, and then get them off the ventilator. And so people should not be so concerned about not by saying, I never want to be on a ventilator. When I hear that, I think they really do not understand what's happening in medicine. Of course, we'd all like to breathe just like you and I are right now, Deanna, and maybe the majority of our listeners are breathing on their own. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes when we can't do that, modern medicine has ways to help out, but those ways should be done to help a person and protect and preserve their life. And that's really what's going on with Charlie Gard. The ventilator is protecting and preserving Charlie Gard's life. That's the little baby in England that many of the listeners have heard about. The little baby has trouble with the exchange of energy, and it has a fancy name of mitochondrial depletion syndrome. And Charlie Gard's mother and father want what's best for Charlie, and they would like Charlie to be treated, hopefully to at least get them to their home. But the medical system is such that's not their goal and objective, because we know that because Charlie Gard's been on a ventilator for several months. Any patient that's been on a ventilator for about 2 weeks or maybe a little bit longer than that, you have to do a tracheostomy or you can't get them off the ventilator. And they haven't done the tracheostomy on Charlie Gard. And it's a clear signal that they didn't intend to get Charlie Gard into a condition where they could take him home, because whether a specific medication for his mitochondrial problem is effective or ineffective, if Charlie Gard is going to go home, he needs a tracheostomy, and he needs a feeding tube that can be taken care of by his parents at home. The doctors in the hospital at Great Ormond Street, which is a famous children's hospital. They know all of these things, and they have laid out a course that says that Charlie is going to have to stay in the hospital no matter what until Charlie is dead, because they can't let him go home without a tracheostomy and a feeding tube. His mother and father wants best for him, but the medical and legal system says it's in Charlie's best interest not to get treated, you know, have his treatment taken away from him. And many people do not understand the difference between what's best for a patient and what's in the best interest of the patient. They make it like the best treatment is really what Charlie Gard's mother and father want for Charlie. But the system makes it so that without that treatment and with taking away his ventilator and his life support, that's in his best interest. Well, it's a play on words, if you want to call it that. Semantics is the fancy word for that. It's a misleading that goes on in the medical and ethical world. And ordinary folks are not tuned in to this, to be so careful with words. And yet, in these matters of life and death, we must be careful with words, and we must use words and treatment that protect and preserve life. You mentioned a little bit ago the physician-assisted suicide. That is such a misleading words, because it's doctor-imposed death. It's not. It's being done like it's the person who is doing the suicide and making it themselves. No, it's the doctor who writes the prescription or who does the action that ends up in the death. It's doctor-imposed death. You have to call things by what they are. You have to use words that have meaning, not only to doctors and patients and you and me. The same words have meaning. You have to use them the right way. What's best treatment is one thing, but they make it best interest that the person won't live. This is just a use of words. And Charlie Gard, yes, we are concerned about the life of baby Charlie Gard. And yes, we are prayers and thoughts are with Charlie Gard's parents. Then it's a difficult thing for parents to go through, but they are the ones that God gave them that baby Charlie, and they have to see to it, and they're the ones that have the responsibility. And doctors and nurses should be helping Charlie to live the best they can. And even when treatments are not readily available, then sometimes patients want to do everything they can to try to get the best treatment for their baby, and that's what Charlie Gard's parents is trying to do, and we support them and encourage them. But we also know what happens in medicine, and we see indication that they have not done the tracheostomy and the feeding tube for Charlie Gard, and that means that Charlie Gard can't go home from the hospital. I would really encourage very much that the parents encourage that a tracheostomy and a gastrostomy, a PEG tube, as we call it, it's percutaneous esophageal tube. It can be put in easily. In adults, they do it in about 20 minutes. Infants very likely would be the same kind of thing. A short time, easy to do. And that provides a method to feed somebody. The tracheostomy is making the opening in the neck to breathe, so you don't have to be in a hospital where you have to have a doctor or a trained person around to put the tube back in if it should accidentally come out. That's why they have to stay in the hospital. But if you do the tracheostomy, then you don't have to stay in the hospital. Likewise, the tracheostomy provides the airway that helps somebody to breathe. If the endotracheal tube comes out, the airway collapses, and doesn't allow them to breathe, and they suffocate. So the starting guard needs treatment for his mitochondrial problem, but he also needs a tracheostomy and a gastrostomy.
Okay, we do need to take a 3-minute break. Be right back.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Anna, and our guest this second hour is Dr. Paul Byrne, and the website is lifeguardianfoundation.org. Please visit that website. The other thing, too, that I want you to just make mention of is if a person is in an accident and they are a donor, an organ donor, the care that they get from the moment the parents or whoever calls 911, they will be transported to whatever facility is equipped, like the trauma center one, will be they will be transported there, and so they can harvest the organs. correct?
Yes. It starts already at the scene of the accident as to which hospital they go to, and especially if they are young and unconscious and on a ventilator, they're going to go to the level one trauma center, which is also the transplant center. And so their life is in jeopardy immediately. You think they're going to those places to get good treatment. And they do get good treatment many times. But as soon as they get into where it looks like they can get organs, you don't know what's going to make that get them tending towards getting organs, but you know that it can really happen at any age, but especially in the ones that are between 16 and 40, their life is in jeopardy, and they will do things to get their organs. Like one of the things that we know, and it's very important for the listeners to learn this, that when the person's brain is injured, the person stops making what we call thyroid-stimulating hormone, and when they don't have that, they don't make thyroid hormone. And so without thyroid hormone, the body doesn't function very well, but it also swells. So then the swelling of the whole body makes the swelling of the brain get worse. And so you have to do tests to look for this and give the thyroid hormone. And I get involved with patients, and the doctors won't give the thyroid hormone unless the mother agrees that she will give her child for an organ donor is the only way that they will give the thyroid hormone. And if they won't agree to that, they won't give the thyroid hormone. And we go through this little Miranda Lawson who choked on popcorn. The doctors admitted that she was probably hypothyroid, but they wouldn't test and they wouldn't allow her to have thyroid hormone. And they really wanted her organs, but her mother and father said no. It was a terrible, awful time. They wouldn't even allow her mother to lie on the bed next to Miranda. Eventually, Miranda died because she didn't have a doctor or anybody who would do a tracheostomy or gastrostomy or give her thyroid hormone. And it's a terrible, awful time. It's a medical system is exciting, but it's now a system of death that involves palliative care, hospice, and futile care policies. Thank you very much, Deanna, for having me on your program.
Well, thank you, Dr. Byrne, for all of your efforts and for informing the public. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Okay, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.